The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Passover was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making the temple a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The people then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." They then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I came to chapel that day to hear a good word, a good, healing, hopeful word. The altar was set with wine, bread, candles, and word. The pastor in white alb and colored stole, cross around their neck, stepped behind the altar, and in one grand, sweeping, backhanded gesture set everything flying. "I hate your worship," they screamed as wax, brass, bread, chalice, Bible flew through the air. A collective gasp shot out from the people as metal met stone and a sickly clatter echoed in the space. And then, silence. I had come for a good word, and instead I heard a confrontational word, a challenging word, a condemning word. "I hate your worship. You've got this all wrong." I came for a good word, but that day I had come to the wrong place. They came to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. They came to the temple to purify themselves, confess their sins, atone, and prepare to praise and worship the God of their redemption from slavery. They came for a good word of healing and joy. But Jesus came with a whip and a temper. He flipped tables and dumped coins. "Get out! I hate your worship. This is not a marketplace." He drove them and their stuff and things from the place and sent tables, coins, and bird cages flying into the air and clattering against stone with a deafening crash. And then, silence. They had come for a good word, and instead they heard a confrontational word, a challenging word, a condemning word. "I hate your worship. You have this all wrong. Get out." They came for a good word, but that day they came to the wrong place. Friends, there have always been and there will always be people who get it wrong. We get it wrong. There are Christians today who carry flags that say Jesus saves as they storm the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. There are Christians today who want to establish an Aryan nation and world claiming that white people are superior to everyone else. They carry torches and march in the streets. Christian denominations disagree about the interpretation of Scripture. We are closer in thought and practice to our Muslim faith siblings than we are to other Lutheran denominations. We don't talk to them. Christians are holding anti-mask rallies, saying that the government has no right to tell them to do anything. They are watching their neighbors die of COVID-19 and don't care to do the simple things that could save their lives. There are Christians who say we should rape the earth, exploit its resources for our own gain, because the world is coming to an end anyway, and that's what God would want for us. There are Christians who claim they have a right to own land that has been swindled away from its ancestral inhabitants by one-sided, underhanded contracts, or downright stolen altogether, all the while calling the people of the land lazy drunkards. There are Christians who hunt for the sport of it, Christians who like to watch animals suffer, and then they come to worship on Sunday expecting a blessing. There are Christians who believe that the church is only for them and that their personal wealth is evidence that God approves of their exclusivism and blesses their privilege. There are Christians who believe that if your gender doesn't match your assigned parts, you should be converted. There are Christians who believe that the church should stay out of politics, especially when the political system protects their personal wealth and comfort. We live among them. We live beside them. We have been and are them. And if you have come to worship today expecting to hear a good word, a word of hope, healing, and joy, the fact that the Ten Commandments were the first reading of the day should have warned you that you've come to the wrong place. Today's word is a confrontational word. It is a challenging word, and it is a condemning word. Because Jesus is flipping tables of all sorts. He is disrupting our wealth and our comfort, exposing our slanted systems and our imprisoning isms. He is sending our stuff and things flying. He is screaming at us, "I hate your worship. You've got this all wrong. Get out." But once the clatter has died down, we can admit that Jesus is right. We do have this all wrong. The temple is not the place where God is found. The temple is the place where we come to hear a word, a good, healing, joyful, confrontational, challenging, condemning word. The temple is not the place where God is found. The temple is the place we come to see how wrong we are and recommit ourselves to trying to get it right. The temple is not the place where God is found. The temple is the place where we receive word, bread, wine, water, and we begin to be transformed into something else, into someone else, into a new community that is formed by grace. Thank God for that. Because if we come here just to be affirmed in how right we are blind. We are misled and on a dangerous path of exploitation of all creation, creatures, and other people. If we come here just to be affirmed in how right we are blind, we are misled, and we are deepened in the justification of the misguided things we do that actually need correction. Make no mistake about it, Jesus came to flip tables. Mine, yours, ours, theirs. He came to flip tables all over the place. He came screaming and shouting that the temple is not the place where God is found. And Jesus screams at us to listen. Again and again, God calls us to listen. The temple is inanimate. This place is brick and mortar. It's filled with furniture, candles, wine, pews, stuff, and things. The words spoken here have the potential to point us to God's deep truths, Or they can point us to our own destruction and disastrous end. The temple is not the place where God is found. Jesus screams at us to listen. Again and again, God calls us to listen. Jesus comes to say that he is the temple. You can be the temple. I can be the temple. We can be the temple. Jesus comes flipping tables to help us become places where God wants to dwell. But God desires clean places, open places, welcoming places, working places, transforming places, gentle places, places that tell the truth, even when it's hard. God desires clean places, places where love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, compassion, community, generosity can dwell and expand. And it's hard to be that kind of place when you think you're right. It's hard to be that kind of place when we don't listen to the suffering of others. It's hard to be that kind of place when the place is already full of stuff and things, when it's full of judgment, greed, and self-righteousness. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." The people said, "This temple's been under construction for 46 years, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" Of course they said that, because they didn't understand. If you destroy the temple, a human vessel where God dwells in compassion, justice, mercy, and grace, when it's destroyed, that temple gets replicated in everyone who understands love. It can't be killed, it cannot be silenced, and it cannot be overpowered. Just look what happened when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, or Oscar Romero, or any one of a number of martyrs. Look what happens when the human temple of God is threatened. What happens? The gifts of God's power spread like wildflowers on an untamed hillside, because those gifts and those realities are the only things worth living for. Justice, equality, peace, community, equity, generosity, sustainability, care, love. Who cares about the marketplace? Who cares about exchanging money? Who cares even about how getting our liturgy right? These are human mechanisms, and they attempt to drown out what really matters. You are a temple of infinite worth. That's what matters. You cannot be bought. You cannot be sold. You are not for sale. You are a dwelling place of the Most High God. And Jesus will flip tables everywhere, sending the junk that we think is important clattering and crashing to the ground until every human being everywhere becomes a holy place for God's good gifts. Because God wants to end the abuse of the planet. God wants to end racism. God wants to end colonialism. God wants to end patriarchy. God wants to end power that people hold over other people in all of its forms. The horrible, disgusting things that we seem to be okay with. And God starts by upsetting us. God starts by exposing our internal biases and our blindnesses to the injustice we condone every day, simply because we can, and because it's easier than exposing the truth and doing something about it. Today's word is a challenging, confronting, and condemning word. But it's spoken by a God who loves us and all humanity. It's spoken by a God who loves the planet. It's spoken by a God who loves you and claims you as a temple for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Of course they did, because the temple moved inside of their hearts. It moved inside their hearts. It took up room in the neighborhood of their lives. Just the same way it's moving into ours. Jesus is flipping tables so that our hearts might have room. And that is a good, confronting, challenging, condemning word. It has the power to heal all of us, everywhere. And thanks be to God for a love like that.